This morning's sermon is titled, What Does God Want? And it's interesting how often, as Americans probably in particular, how often we think about what we want. And that's not all bad. We're just talking about daily things. And so if you think about in a given day, how many times your mind processes, what do I want here? A choice. Yesterday, I'll just run through real quickly. Yesterday, like you did, I woke up and what do I want to wear today? I mean, we don't, not only do we have clothes, but we have so many, we choose. And it's really not based on our needs, it's just based on, what's in the closet, what do I feel like wearing today? I left the house which car do I want to drive? This one or that one? It's a choice. And then get back home, what do I want to eat? What do I want to sit down and what do I want to watch on TV? There are a number of chores that need to be done. And at my house, there are more chores than there is energy to do all the chores. The projects, it's a Saturday. And so you have inside things and outside things. Well, I want to be productive, but what do I want to do? What do I feel like doing? It's time to eat again. I eat a lot. What do I want to eat? What do I want to eat? It's not a matter of will I or will there be enough, but what am I in the mood for? Watch a little more TV. What do I want to watch again? Did some chores where I, plugged in the boombox. And what am I in the mood for? What do I want to listen to? Went to Walmart. We went on a family Walmart, grocery trip. We don't do that very often. And I don't think we should, because we spend a lot more than we normally do when just one of us goes. We probably made 100 choices. What do we want? Well, we need some tea. I drink tea, okay? So I go on the drink aisle. I'm going to drink tea. So I find the tea, and what kind of tea do I want to drink? I've been drinking green tea lately. All right, I'm gonna get some green tea. What brand of green tea? Well, let's go with this brand. Okay. What flavor? They all have flavors now. What flavor do I... That, there's so many things that we purchase or that we think about and that we choose. When I was young, we live in a have it my way society. And when I was young, TV, we basically had three channels. You got your 2, 6, and 8, and you have your OETA, which is really not a channel as far as I'm concerned. It's a waste of good, airtime. And so we had 2, 6, and 8, and then along came 23. Some of y'all remember when Fox 23 came? I mean, that's like a 33% increase in TV viewing choices for us. That's a big deal. That's a lot. You go from 3 to 4. Now how many channels do we have? And so we daily function by what do I want? And that's not all bad. But let's stop for a minute and think about what does God want? And I want to take us through three things. Now, the Bible's more than three things. But I want us to just think about this morning three things that God wants. And the first one is God wants to be followed. If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Matthew 16, 24. God wants to be followed. And that starts with surrender. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 24, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. God reminds us this world is a blink. This world is call it a test. This world is a place where I either choose God or I don't. But I can't gain the whole world and then lose my soul. How foolish would that be? And we need to stop and consider periodically, am I trying to gain the world? What am I trying to do here? And have I really surrendered to God? Am I continuing to surrender? Everyone wants a Savior, but not everyone wants a Lord. Lord means master. Everyone wants a Savior. Not everyone wants a master. But Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you come to me, you have to surrender. You have to deny yourself. And sometimes I think we just need perspective. On this planet, in the physical world, on this planet, we are top dog. Humans. Right? I'm driving back from Oklahoma City the other day. It's about dusk. Starting to get dark. I look out in the field and I think I see a bobcat running through this field. Now, cats have always, you know, animals amaze me. In particular, cats. I've always appreciated cats. And the cheetah has always been my favorite animal in the kingdom. But bobcats are a pretty amazing creature. You know, pound for pound. I think I'd rather tango pound for pound with just about anything else. But they just intrigue me. We are physically nowhere matched for the animals in this kingdom. You and a bear, mano a mano. Okay? Right? We're in trouble. But our intellect gives us superiority. Because we can make things that can kill that thing. And God designed it that way. God told us we would rule over the animals. On the earth, we're the top. Humans. Nothing above us on this planet. And I think sometimes that perspective, which is not the reality of the universe, but that perspective puts us in a place where we don't naturally and we don't want to surrender and follow someone else. But what if we were in the presence of God? And I know we are, but I mean where we could see, where we could really perceive God's presence. What would that be like? Well, look in Isaiah chapter 6. Because Isaiah experienced that. Isaiah finds himself in that way in the presence of God. And he sees these angelic beings flying around. And they're calling to each other. They're saying to each other, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." And as they're saying that, the sound of their voice shakes everything. When I think of God speaking, I think of a thundering voice. And that's kind of biblical. Not that God, and God can also whisper. I mean, but these are created beings. These are beings that God created. And when they speak, everything shakes. And they say, "Holy, holy, holy." And Isaiah, his response is, "Woe to me. I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King." I think if we were in God's presence, we would feel the exact same way. I am ruined. I'm broken. I'm not worthy. We wouldn't have to be told to surrender. We would have already surrendered. And we know a day is coming when every knee will bow. If I can remember, Elliot, you're not top dog here. But there is God Almighty. And He wants me to follow Him. Number two, God wants to be glorified. The word glorify means to honor, to magnify, to praise, to make appear glorious. It involves worship, and I want to talk about worship. But to glorify means to bring honor to God. To make God look as good as He really is. And there are a lot of ways that we can glorify God, but I want us to think about two this morning, First one's worship. Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman. Or the woman, the Samaritan woman at the well. And he tells her there's a time coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Our God wants your worship. And He wants my worship. When you worship, do you worship in spirit? Do you worship with your spirit? Do you worship with your soul? Do you worship with the deepest part of you? Do you give that to God? Do you worship according to truth, worshiping God as He truly is and His Son? When we do that, God loves it because that's what He wants. And He deserves it. But He seeks that. And so we find ourselves sometimes worshiping God, feeling like, I'm not worthy to do this. This is too much for me. This is too good for me. But God wants it. We're never worthy, but He wants it, and He loves our worship. Psalm 29:2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness." Fathers, last Sunday was Father's Day. Did you enjoy Father's Day? You know, mothers, think back on Mother's Day. Did you enjoy Mother's Day? As a father, I love Father's Day. I love it. Okay? It's a unique day. You know, the birthday's good too. Family usually tries to cater to you on your day. And as a father, I get a couple. I get a birthday and a Father's Day. The other days aren't like that, all right? But Father's Day is a unique day. I mean, the family's fixing lunch after church and I'm watching NASCAR and it's turned up. And nobody asked me to turn it down, right? I love Father's Day. No one asked me, as they would on another day, "Hey, can we watch something else? You know, can you record this?" Or, I love Father's Day. And then there comes that moment when my girl said, "All right, Dad, sit down." I dropped my clicker. Glad that wasn't a super important part of the sermon. They said, "Dad, sit down." And they bring me their cards. You know, they each had a card for me that they had got for me. And they bring that to me one by one. And that's special. That's from them. That's them saying to me, "Dad, I appreciate you." And then the gift. That's a special time. And our God loves it when we do that to Him. When we come to Him and say, "God, I praise you. I honor you. I love you. I appreciate you." God loves to be worshipped. And that's how we glorify Him, and that's something He wants. Now, a second way to glorify God is through our example. And our there are a lot of ways that we can be and need to be a good example. And there are many ways that Satan is trying to get us to come in here and love and worship God, but walk out there and not really surrender daily or find ourselves living like the world. And I want to mention Facebook as an example. There are a lot of ways that we're tempted to be an example in the world that doesn't glorify God. Okay? But Facebook is interesting because it kind of can give you a different reality of sorts. And let me preface this by saying this week, for the most part, I have not been on Facebook. I use Facebook, but I haven't been on there this week, okay? Because whatever I say regarding Facebook, please don't leave and think Elliot saw what I put on there and he preached that sermon for me. And that was me, okay? Because it wasn't you. But there are three different things that you'll commonly see from Christians. I'm using that in a loose term. And you'll see it on Facebook, and we'll also see it in society. You'll see it in the job place. But one is profanity. The way we speak as Christians is probably the most noticeable way that the world perceives Christ through us. And Paul reminds us, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. It's pretty simple. Scripture makes it pretty clear. And I want to include, I want to help remind us, taking the Lord's name in vain is a very offensive thing to God. And people commonly say, oh my. Okay, there's a show that I don't watch that much anymore. I used to really enjoy watching a show called Pimp My Ride. Okay? And it's a show about people who drive cars that probably really shouldn't be driven. I mean, you've seen the beater car, and then this one's worse than that. But just cars that are just barely hanging on, and everything's wrong with them. And this custom automotive shop will take that car and really do amazing things to it. Okay, modify it, fix it up, add all kinds of things to it, and make it just an amazing vehicle to drive. But on that show, when they finally reveal the new product, you know, the fixed up car, they reveal that to the owner. And some of you have seen the show. The owner of the car, of course, just freaks out because it's so different from what it was. And it's free. But the owner is so excited, they're jumping around, and almost every show, that person repeatedly says, oh my, and take God's name in vain. And I'm sure don't understand what that is or what that means. But there are ways in our lives that we can glorify God, and there are ways that we can really not glorify God. And we need to be reminded about our language. A second area is drunkenness and the like. And Ephesians 5:18 reminds us, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And as Christians, we're to be very different from the world we live in. Scripture makes it pretty clear drunkenness is the problem and is a problem. And so there are things in our lives that we can do and talk about and present on Facebook. And as a Christian, we need to be reminded, I'm like Christ. And whatever I post or however I present myself, that's a reflection on God or Christ. And it may not glorify God at all. And we see an interesting passage in Proverbs. To do what is right is just, and just is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. God wants my worship. He also wants my living right. And when I'm at work on Monday or Wednesday or during the week, what I do there has all the power to glorify God just like what I do here. And a third area, just to make us mindful of, is Ephesians 4:31 talks about bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. We all get upset. We're human, aren't we? We all get frustrated. We all understand what it's like to be bitter. We understand what it's like to want malice. We understand what it's like to want to slander someone. And Satan is always trying to get us to be this way. But remember, God says, be like the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And so how I present myself, whether it be online, whether it be in person, how my attitude is reflects my God. And it's not that I can't be angry or upset or bitter or what have you, but as Christians, we should be careful how that shows. And I just want to remind you, our God is amazing. Our God is glorious. How can I glorify Him more through my example and how I live? And the third thing, and this may seem a little odd, but God wants to be burdened. Our God wants to be burdened. If you've ever found yourself at a place where you felt like this, you know, you come to a place you don't know what to do. Evidently, you're not supposed to go forward. And you're not supposed to turn this way or that way. You're not supposed to go back either. You don't know what to do. You're burdened. You're worried. You're stressed. You're panicked. And 1 Peter 5:7 is an amazing and brief scripture. Cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. And the Greek word that's translated cast means to throw upon. And it's the same word in Matthew 21:7 where they threw their cloaks on the donkey that Jesus rode on. They threw their cloaks on that donkey. That's the same Greek word, cast upon. And God says, I want you to cast your cares on Me. God is strong enough. He's able. He doesn't want us to just bear our own burden and then once in a while when we just can't do any more, then maybe call God. But God says, I want you to bring Me your burdens. The other day I was stressed and worried. Something had just happened. I'd just gotten off the phone with someone. And I felt, do you know when you take that deep breath and it's not a breath of relief, it's a breath of oh my. And I thought to myself, the words came to my mind, well, here's another problem, here's another burden. And I had that feeling of already being burdened and, well, here's another one on top. And I felt the weight of it. And then the song came to my mind, Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. And I kind of had that moment where I go from poor me, here's another burden, and then I'm reminded about God. Cast all your cares on Him. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. And so I stopped and I started praying. And I'm praying, and then my prayer is interrupted by the phone ringing, and I stop praying and I answer the phone. And the phone is the very person I was struggling with, and what they said was a complete 180 degrees from our last conversation. When you pray to God and take a burden and give it to God before you finish your prayer, God's working on it. God's getting results. And I get off the phone and I put the phone down and I think, God, You are so amazing. You are so amazing. We're going to sing a song in a moment. Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. We're going to use that as our invitation song. Our God wants to be followed, and He deserves to be followed. He also wants to be glorified, and He deserves to be glorified. He also wants to be burdened. He wants you to take your burden and give it to Him. We're going to sing this song. And I cannot imagine that we don't have someone here who came in here with a burden. And it's all you can do to be here this morning. the burden is heavy. And we would love to take a moment and pray with you about the burden that you have. Let us help you give it to God so that He can carry that weight. There may be someone here this morning that you've never put Christ on in baptism. You've never had your sins washed away. You've never become a child of God. And you know and you understand and it's being put off. Why not do it right now? Why not do that today? If there's something you need, please come while we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.